This morning we began this lesson, that's why there's not a second one. Everyone asks that this morning, they're asking me tonight. I told the elders that I should probably, what's left in this lesson, divide up into at least three more sermons, but you'd get too tired out, so we're going to finish it tonight. This morning we began the lesson on understanding submission as wives in the home. And I found it interesting, thought it was necessary and important for us to begin, before we talk about our four principles, to, as we did this morning, talk about, because it's been this particular role, because of what the world does with it, because of the struggles that, and challenges that we do have with it as men and women, to spend this morning talking about the fact that we're not talking about value, that we're talking about the roles that God has assigned. And hopefully, if you were here this morning, especially, that was clear from God's Word, helped our appreciation and understanding so that moving forward tonight and the points we will make, some of the things we will talk about, we have all that same common foundation that in no way, shape, or form is God and His Word, or are we ever demeaning or being oppressive or restrictive to women in that sense. But we're simply looking at what God has called us to do as men and women, particularly as under submission with wives in the home. So let's bow in prayer, and then we will can pick up where we left off this morning. Our God and our Father, we come to you again, as we have done multiple times throughout this day. We're thankful for the day that you've given us. We're thankful for the blessings that come from it, the encouragement that we draw from spending time with your people, from offering praise of worship to you through our songs, through our prayers, through our discussions about you, our meditations about you, remembering your Son and the sacrifice that He made for us, and getting to read from your Word. We often take your Word for granted, the plethora of wisdom and insight that it gives us into who you are and who you've called us to be. We always strive here to focus on your Word, to read it plainly, to understand better what your will is for our lives. We know that the culture around us is against your Word. It has been for a very long time, and that is still the case today. We pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to not only understand what your Word has to say and the simplicity of it, but the boldness to believe it, the boldness to trust in it, and the boldness to teach others in a way that edifies and builds up, but always clearly communicates your Word. And so as tonight we continue to focus on the home, as you as our God, as you as the ultimate authority figure in all of our lives, you are our head, you are our Father, you are our God. We pray for the encouragement. We pray that you would help us understand these things better. No doubt all of us in this room who are married have things that we can continue to grow in and strengthen ourselves in. We need to talk to our spouses about to better help one another get to heaven and to be who you've called us to be. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So again, we began this morning talking about the idea of submission, what the world's done with it. It is not about value, but it is about roles. And so then, now we're going to kind of look at those four fundamental principles as we have used in each lesson so far. We'll continue to use those in lessons to come. The lessons that we learned from Jesus in the garden. And so the very first one is the need for constant communication. And I didn't really have a very particular passage to go with this. I used Genesis chapter 3 this morning, and all I could help but think about, especially because of how we use Genesis 3 this morning, it's the idea that in the home, it's kind of almost a too simple of a point to make, but we've got to make it nonetheless. Husbands and wives need to be communicating, right? It's the idea that the wife needs to understand what the will of the husband is for the home. In Genesis chapter 3, we focused on verse 16 this morning about how God punishes Adam, Eve, gives the curses to the serpent, to Adam and Eve, because of their sin against God. But if you back up in that story just a little bit, what you'll read is that God comes to Adam and says, Adam, I'm paraphrasing, here I want you to tend the garden, be fruitful, be multiply, and don't eat of that tree. No, you never read of God coming to Eve individually and telling Eve all the exact same things. But when the serpent comes and talks to Eve, what does Eve know? Eve knows what the will of God is because she knows what the will of her husband is, because obviously Adam has spent time communicating that to her, and it's just a really, that it doesn't, aren't you thinking to yourself, wow, if it took you that long to come up with that, that's just like way too simple, right? Wives and husbands should be spending time communicating about what the will of the husband is, the goals for the family, etc., etc., etc. But here's the challenging part. I was on the way to town the other day, and I was listening to the radio, and I don't remember the company that did the recent poll and statistics, but they were talking about marriage and the family, and recent polls and statistics showed, this is just recently, that the average couple spends 4 minutes a day face-to-face communicating. Yes, I said 4 minutes, not 45 minutes, not 4 hours. The average couple spends 4 minutes a day. I don't even know how that's possible, to be honest with you. I mean, I was literally blown away. Can you imagine? But what they're finding more and more is that throughout society and our culture, most couples have this idea, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and occasionally we'll get together and hang out a little bit. You do your thing, you do your thing, and if we need to pull some resources and some money to maybe buy a bigger, we'll kind of figure that out. But ultimately, they're not really communicating at all. So is it any surprise then that this idea that wives being in submission to husbands is such a bad thing to society? Hopefully everyone here is equally surprised by that, and we all spend way more time than 4 minutes a day talking with our spouse face to face. But it doesn't come as a big surprise to us that in our marriages, communication can be one of the biggest challenges across the board. You spend any time talking to anybody who's married, who's struggling with working some things out or having some difficulties in the home, I've got limited experience, but from the experience I've gotten so far in my life, I'd venture to guess that lack of communication, not knowing how to communicate, refusing to communicate is going to be in there somewhere, right? Understanding submission as a wife in the home takes honest communication. Understanding that God has a role for you, spending time as we did this morning talking about 1 Timothy 2, Ephesians chapter 5, even Colossians chapter 3, all these passages about spending time talking about here's what God wants of you, here's what God wants of me, how can we together both fulfill each other's roles, fulfill the roles God's given us, and enable, rather, one another to fulfill those roles. And so as a wife in the home, it takes time understanding that God has given you a role to be submissive to the husband, the will of the husband in the home, and to fulfill that role as best you can to God's glory. The question is, well, what is His will? What direction does my husband have? What is his vision for the home? What does he want to see in the home? What about the home? What about the finances? What about the children? Service to others, hospitality, all the different things. Where's my husband at on those things? And how, as the wife, can I better understand what His will is, obviously, so long as it accords with God's Word? And how can I be a support role in that? But, you know, us husbands, there's some focus on us as well. Jesus, as we use in that garden sermon, the reason why in that moment in the garden when it was extremely difficult for Jesus to submit, the reason why He was prepared to do so is because He and the Father did a whole lot of talking from the time He was old enough to talk, I guess, in this life, in this flesh, all throughout. He was constantly talking to God, saying, what is your will? So every day I can fulfill. God always communicated that to Him. We as husbands, actually, and we're going to talk about communication just a little bit more, if we desire to help our wives fulfill the role that God's given them, we need to spend time not telling them what to do. We need to spend some time talking about what our goals are, what our vision is, what we feel is important for our family, for our children, and all of those things. You remember last week? Was it last week? I think it was last week. Last week when we talked about children, and I said one of the best ways to set your children up for failure, provoke them to wrath, was to not clearly communicate what your expectations are as a parent and then turn around and belittle them or get on to them or discipline them for not meeting your expectations. And you remember I stepped over here and I almost said something. I said, no, I'm going to wait for next week. As a husband, I'm telling you, one of the surest ways, and most of us men in here have probably experienced because we've not led perfectly, you want to provoke your wife, do the same thing to her. Don't clearly communicate what your will is, what your expectations are, all those different things. Don't communicate that. And then when she doesn't meet whatever so-called expectation you have in your head, start belittling her. Start being antagonizing her, start degrading, do all those things. We talked about how last week, if that happened to us at work, man, we would have a really hard time with it. There's got to be constant communication. I want to do a whole sermon on just communication, but I don't have time. Which means there needs to be encouragement. Now I want you to go to Titus chapter 2. We read this morning. We're going to read it again tonight. We talked about Jesus in the garden, how because he was facing an extremely difficult time, there was a moment where he took all of his disciples, well, at least the 11, into the garden. But even when he gets into the innermost part of the garden at Gethsemane, that oil press, he takes the three, you remember? And his instructions were sit, watch, and pray. And Jesus wants him to do that, not because he's really being on guard of who's coming. Jesus wanted mutual edification. Jesus wanted encouragement. He wanted them praying for him. They struggled with that. We sang about it this morning in a song that Jared led, that an angel left the place of light, and he came and out of pity started ministering to Jesus. Something along those lines. We sang about it. That's what happens. Luke retells. An angel came and was ministering to him, giving him encouragement because his closest friends weren't. And so with the roles of wives in the home, God's assigned you this role we've already talked about in certain venues. Yes, women can't lead, but there's so much to be done. But now thinking about my calling to submit, Titus says this. Let's read it again. I'm in Titus 2, starting in verse 3. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and they are to so train the young women too. Love their husbands, because we're not always lovable. Love their children, because that's sometimes difficult. To be self-controlled in matters of personal character. To be pure. To be working at home, or as some translations say, keepers of the home. They're to be kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. That last phrase there, that the word of God may not be reviled, the idea is that What makes up a godly character and a godly woman, when other people look in, you don't want to look at Christian women who are not submissive, and people of the world recognize, okay, doesn't God's word kind of say this is what should characterize a Christian woman, and yet if this not being shown in your life, they could revile God. It would bring charge against, of course, them, give them opportunity to talk evil about. And so the idea is, as we talked about this morning, you have the instructions, not suggestions, but you have instructions for older women to be teaching younger women on what it means to be married and what it means to be submissive. There's going to be times, not that this happens every day, but there's going to be times that younger women, especially older as well, you're going to need encouragement. We're going to talk more in just a minute how we as husbands don't always lead well, or we don't lead at all. Understanding that despite that, though, wives are still to be in subjection. And that's difficult. It is difficult across the board for all of us to be in subjection to somebody else, especially when we really don't agree and it's a matter that affects our lives, our families, our homes, especially in those kinds of things. Subjection is very, very hard. You don't agree with the decisions your husband is making. It's not the direction that you had in mind or you want to go. You need encouragement. You need prayers. I wrote in my notes, asking for prayers without prejudice. And I guess what I'm trying to say by saying that is that there's a difference between walking up to a woman who is older in the faith and saying, listen, I'm facing something challenging at home, and I need encouragement, I need prayers. Versus walking up to someone who's older in the faith or just a mutual peer in the faith and say, you would not believe how big of an idiot my husband is. And I appreciate the older godly women in our audience who have had that happen, who have immediately stopped that conversation and said, we're not talking about that, go talk to your husband. If we're there for a bashing session, if we're there to talk about how all these wrong, that's not what it's for. But you can, in the right setting, with the right motives and the right mindset, go and say, listen, there's just some difficult things, and yes, my husband is not perfect, and he may not be leading in the best way, but my focus, just like Jesus, my focus is still to be in subjection, because that's what God's called me to do. It's just hard, and I need you to encourage me in that. I need you to pray for me in that. I need you to help me help him, whatever the case may be. You see, you can tell the difference between motives. The focus is on submitting to the husband and seeking the encouragement that gives you the boldness to be humble and not assert your own way when so badly that's exactly what you want to do. So, let's go back to communication now. We're getting encouragement to do so. There's going to be times where you're not going to agree with your husband, and we got to communicate about that, right? Just as we said, husbands and wives, we don't always agree. Understanding submission, like we learn from the Lord Jesus, is understanding how to respectfully express what's on our heart and yet still be focused on doing the Father's will. So in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that this morning, he says in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." That phrase there, as to the you, as a Christian woman, isn't it your desire and your goal to submit to the Lord and everything He's asked you to do? Yeah, so Paul says, "Wives, you submit to your husbands as to the Lord," in the same way, right? "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Now, as the church submits to Christ, and now think about that. How does the church submit to Christ? Don't we as a congregation here put extreme emphasis that, listen, I want to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do. Exactly the same way He wants me to do it. I want to be the New Testament church. Sometimes I have some different ideas. Sometimes I kind of wish we could do this and do that, but even though I have that desire and I'd kind of like to do those things, God's authority just doesn't allow for that. And so I've got to still put myself aside. And as a church, we want to be exactly who the Lord wants us to be, right? Well, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 33, as he concludes about both husbands and wives. Husbands, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And that's really what I want to key in on. It's the idea of, I want to be in full submission to my Father's will, God the Father. I want to be in subjection as a wife to, of course, the husband, and all things that pertain, obviously, as long as it's not violating God's will. And so if that's my desire and that's really what I'm searching for, there's going to be times when part of my role is to be, to give insight, to give perspective, but I got to do so respectfully because I'm told to do that in a respectful manner. Actually, there's a lot of other general Christian passages on how we communicate and talk that answers a lot of those other questions. I just don't have time to go all those places. But you can, and it's appropriate for wives to respectfully, just as Jesus did, communicate what's on their hearts. When husbands and wives are communicating, you don't have to date very long or be married much less very long to know you don't always see eye to eye. And we all have different personalities. So there are some of us in this audience who we struggle to communicate because we just don't know how to. Some of us here just don't want to. There are others of us in this audience that I don't have a problem telling you what's on my mind. And if you give me long enough, I'll even give you a piece of my mind, right? Rarely is that a good thing. It is important for wives to share their insight and perspective. Husbands, we talked about 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 this morning. There are times that we as husbands decide, well, I'm large and I'm in charge, and I don't really need to discuss this with you. You just need to do what I say and listen to what I have to say and just do it. That's wrong. I wouldn't do that. I would suggest to you that when God created man, he knew that he was incomplete in a lot of ways. And he created the woman for man to be the helpmeet in all the areas that he is deficient in so that he can be who God's called him to be. That's what wives are for, and of course husbands are to lead. They have insight. They have perspective. God knows that they're a helpmeet. As you're dealing with children, so often we need the motherly instincts of our wives to help interpret the behavior of our children. It's not always rebellion, although it's easier to deal with sometimes. It's not always that way. There's other things and insight into what's going on in brethren's lives, and to teach. There's always another side to something that it is so helpful if us husbands will put our pride aside and be humble enough to ask for input and listen. And sometimes that will change the decision we make because there's a broader perspective that we need to take into account. You talk to any man here who's a great father, who has a close relationship with his wife, who's a great leader in the Lord, you're going to find that part of what enables him to be those things is that they've learned the value of understanding his wife's perspective and insight. Understanding submission as wives in the home takes understanding how to respectfully, though, wives, share that perspective when you disagree. And express what's on your heart while, like Jesus, still focused on the husband's will and not manipulating him. Someone once asked me, why did Satan go to Eve in the garden rather than Adam? That's an interesting question. Why did Satan go to Eve in the garden? Is it because Eve was gullible, dumb, and ignorant? No. The suggestion was because Satan was smart enough to know that the woman had the most influence and sway over the man. Just an idea. But let's be real about that, though. Everyone in here who's married knows, we all know how much sway and influence the wife has over the husband. And there's a good side to that. If we are truly one in the Lord as we should be one, and our lives are together, and we love each other, and we're in harmony and unity, of all people that I'm going to listen to first, that's going to be my wife. I will listen to her every day over any of you first. Not that I won't listen to you, she just comes first. Second to the Lord, right? But you see, with that comes responsibility. Because when wives understand the sway they have over husbands, a lot of time there's that struggle. There's that struggle to, well, okay, I know that me and my husband, we disagree. Here's his direction for the family, the children, the home, the finances. Here's where he's wanting to go. Here's what he's wanting to do. And I don't agree. And so you got some personalities that I'm just going to be belligerent, and I'm going to make sure that he knows I don't agree, and I'm going to put my foot down as the wife, and that's wrong. But then you also, the other side of the spectrum is you've got sometimes women who decide, well, I don't have to be loud and boisterous. I can just be small and subtle and sly, and I can guilt him into this. I can trick him into this. I can make him feel. You play with emotions, and you manipulate your husband into, quote unquote, the husband makes the decision, but all along you've asserted your will and you've manipulated your husband. And folks, that's equally as wrong. That's not what God... Jesus was sharing respectfully what was on his heart with God. But what I want you to remember from Jesus' story in the garden is that Jesus was never asking that the Father change the outcome of his will. Jesus said, "Your will be done." The only thing Jesus asked was, I want you to accomplish your will, but is there a different way we can still accomplish your will but still get there? I'm not wanting to change the direction in your will. I'm just wondering if there's a different way. The Lord said, no, and we'll talk about that in a second. But too often, however it works in the home, we see both. If we're honest, we've had both in our lives, all of us. We still see that a lot today. I said last week, rhetorically speaking, and I'll probably bring it up again in a second, can you prove rebellion when there's not leadership? It's hard to. But too often, rebellion is very shaded by manipulation, and it's by those kind of things. Folks, we need to be careful about that. We need to be on guard against that. As husbands, we need to be on guard against that. As wives, we need to be on guard against that. And then, which brings us to our last point, as wives in the home, there needs to be humble submission. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We read verse 7 this morning. And then one of our Bible readings, we read verses 1 through 6. Jesus in the garden, and that lesson, he prayed more earnestly than you and I can ever do, asking God for another way, and the answer that God had remained the same. And when Jesus realized that God's answer was unchanged, despite his pleas and his admonition and what was on his heart, Jesus calmly and he humbly submitted. I think at various times in our lives, we as husbands have struggled with this, and we're seeing this more and more, at least it seems to me, about leadership. We joke about who wears the pants in the family. Well, the man wears the pants in the family. The wife irons them, washes them, irons them, picks them out, and tells them which leg to put on first, but he still wears them, right? We kid about, we as men are trying to make a decision, and we kid about, well, I've got to go check with the boss first. And then there's probably four or five variations thereof. You know, I couldn't help but think that we kid and we joke about that. And I'm not saying it's wrong, too. I'm just saying, but maybe the reality is that we laugh and we make light of that because sometimes we're making light of it because it's actually true. Again, this is not about value. This is not about ability. This is not about knowledge. It's about roles. And what we still see even today among brethren is that women are really the ones calling the shots. They are making the plans. Yeah, the husband goes to work and he's like, well, as long as I'm kind of included in the conversation and I know what's going on, well then, yeah, I'm technically still leader of my home. And the wife's really calling all the shots. It's whatever mama wants. It's whatever the wife wants, whatever makes mama happy. If the mama's happy, everybody's happy kind of mentality. And as long as she's happy, I will do it. I just got to keep her happy. And there's multiple reasons for that. It could be that women are doing that because we have men more and more. The women are leading because the men won't. Maybe it is a woman who the man's trying to lead and she's trying to assert her will. Men are taking more and more the idea, well, she's not asserting her authority. She's better at that than I am. She's just good at that. And so I give her the authority to make those decisions, do those things, as if I have the right to give somebody authority that God never gave authority. Or you have the right to do that. This is part where us as men have to understand that you might not be comfortable with leading. You might not be the best at leading in certain areas. You may not be. We still have to. God never said, men, I was talking to Randy earlier, I think in the garden the problem, the natural problem for the woman was because Adam wasn't leading like he should, she thought the easier thing to do is just me to assert my authority, I'm just going to take the lead and I'm going to just take charge of this, and she did, and she was punished for it. To Adam, God said, okay, your problem is you should be leading and you're just content with not. You're going to. I don't care if you want to or not. You're going to. And so sometimes it's both husbands and wives both in the wrong in those situations. Submission as wives in the home is understanding the need for, even when you fully disagree, we still submit. 1 Peter 3. Wives, be subject to your own husband so that even if some don't obey the word, they might be known without a word by the conduct of of their wives when they see you're respectful and your pure conduct. Just like Timothy's passage, don't let the adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold and of jewelry and of the clothing that you wear, but let the adorning be of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good, and you do not fear anything that is frightening. Now, if you remember that very, very first lesson, we got to this very last point, and we were talking about, okay, here's submission. You know what here's the leader, and he's wanting to do this. Here's a decision. You don't agree. And you're just having a hard time getting on board with that. I don't want to do that. We said that submission is submission. Submission is not agreement. Agreement is agreement. Submission is when you disagree, but you yield and you humbly submit anyways. I think of 1 Peter 3 not only because it gives obviously the instruction for wives to be in submission, but he gives the perfect example. Abraham and Sarah. See that? That's verse 6. Abraham's a great man. He's the father of faith, one of the greatest men of faith, right? And he always led his family in like the most godly, smart, logistically way possible. No. He made some pretty dumb choices as a husband. Two times. As if he didn't learn his lesson from the first time. Two times. Not only does that man make a really dumb decision, but that decision directly put Sarah in harm's way. He literally endangered her life. He literally separated from her family. I mean, you think about just the logistics and the what was going through her head. I'll tell you what I think is going through her head based upon passages like this. I think she knew that her husband's decision was wrong. I think she knew it was a really bad idea, but she said, you know, it's okay because God's going to take care of me. My husband might make a really bad decision. He might go the wrong path, but God's still able to deliver me. And guess what? He did two times. God delivered her. There's going to be times that we as husbands don't always lead in the best way. There's going to be times that decisions that we feel is the right one as wives, you're not going to agree with. And yes, there can be a time for communicating, okay, here's what's on my heart, here's my perspective. But then the husband, if you're going to lead and you need to, the husband will say, okay, but at the end of the day, I've got to make the decision. And here it is. And especially when the wives don't agree, you've been called to by God, God says, I just want you to trust in me. I'll take care of it. If it turns out to be the wrong move or a wrong decision, I'll handle it. You be in submission to me and be in submission to your husband. There's tons of everyday little things that we argue about. But for some reason in our culture and society, and we're seeing it in our church family, or culturally, church culture, we have this idea that submission is going along with a plan so long as I think it's the right path and it's the best path and I agree. We have this idea, and I'm sure everybody, we all like to hear, oh yeah, we need to be openly sharing and communicating with one another. But then we turn that into, well, submission is, well, that just means that husband and wife need to talk this out long enough to where we can find an area that both parties are happy and we all compromise. We have to argue about this until we can finally compromise, and then it's okay. Folks, that's not submission. And if a husband's allowing it, we need to repent. If wives are doing that, you need to repent. That's not submission. Well, again, will we as husbands always lead in the best way? No. Will we as husbands always make decisions that are the best? Well, hopefully we're trying. But no, we won't. But God's design for the home is pretty amazing and beautiful when both husband and wife are striving to work together to enable the other to fulfill the role that they've been given. I can help my wife understand what God has called her to do, but I can't demand submission from her. Husbands, you can't demand submission from your wives. But because she loves God and she loves me, submission is a gift. It's a gift that makes me take my responsibility seriously. You see how that works? When a woman decides, because I love God and because I love my husband, and even though he's not perfect and he doesn't lead perfect, I'm going to just, you know what, I'm going to follow God's will and I'm going to fully submit to my husband. And my husband knows that. For me, that was humbling when we finally got to that point where we were in our marriage. Because for me, all of a sudden, it's hearing from God and hearing from my wife that, honey, I'm here to support you and encourage you and uplift you, support you in whatever way I can, but at the end of the day, this is your decision. These are your calls to make. All of a sudden, responsibility and the weight of that responsibility came really, really real. You want to enable a husband to lead better and lead the best he can, start respecting and submitting to your husband as God's called you to do, and it produces that. She knows that everything I do is for the best interest of her and the children. She knows that I'm trying, therefore it's easier for her to submit. She wants the same thing that I want. She wants to support me by encouraging me, supporting me, trusting in me, being patient with me when I make mistakes, and trusting in God to right those mistakes. Submission to husbands is submission to God. I don't know if we ever think about it that way, but that's about the simplest way I know how to put it. If you're struggling with whether or not you should be in full submission to your husband, the question is, will you be in full submission to God? Submission to one another is about being in submission to God. Submission to spiritual leadership is about being in submission to God. It's not about value, it's about roles. We need to be spending time every day communicating with one another as husbands and wives beyond what's for supper. We need to be spending time training and asking for unbiased support. We need to be sharing with one another what's on our hearts. We need to be leading husbands. And we need to be submitting wives. We need to be modeling godly principles and roles in our home so that our children learn through teaching and training how they will live in their roles one day. I want to thank you for being patient with us in the study. I know it was a two-part lesson. It went really long, but y'all are always gracious and attentive. Hopefully this look on God's Word has made us all think more deeply about our homes and our marriages. Maybe you realize tonight that you and your spouse have some things to work on. Start. Maybe you know that there are some real issues in the marriage that need resolving and you don't know where to start. Talk. And then if that doesn't get going, then ask for help. Maybe you have someone who has and does come to you with struggles. Use these things from God's Word to help them understand what God's called them to do. And as always, the spiritual leadership is always here day and night to help encourage, teach, exhort, and help in whatever way that we can. Let's stand and sing this song.